Hi there, and welcome to Sentinel Watch. I'm Jenny Sawyer. It's that time of year again here in the United States, Thanksgiving. And in that spirit, we've pulled out a program from our archives to share with you. This holiday story is one of the most heartwarming I've heard, but even better, there are spiritual lessons about gratitude that transformed our guest's life in profound ways and can transform yours too. Let's hear from Kate Robertson. Kate's a Christian Science practitioner from Buena Vista, Colorado.
Probably the most memorable Thanksgiving in my childhood was the hardest. I'm the oldest of eight children, and the year after I graduated from high school, I was working, and one morning, very early, received a call that my dad had been killed in a motorcycle accident on his way to work. And my mom, who was very, very young, with, at that point, because I was living in another state, was at home with seven younger children, and the youngest were toddler-age twins and everything in between. And so my sister called me and said that I needed to come home immediately, and so I did. And that kind of began a very challenging period of my life, because all of my own dreams and plans had to be put aside. My mom didn't work. And after Dad died, in addition to dealing with the grief and the sorrow of his passing, we had to deal with how were we going to navigate going forward without his income. And as a family of nine people, they lived on a farm in a very remote part of eastern Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half from where I lived. And I had two jobs at that point, but very soon after that took on a third job so that we could just pay the rent on the farmhouse and keep the utilities on. But I was a girl.
Yeah, I mean, what was going through your head at that time? Did you feel completely overwhelmed, or were you just trying to help out your mom, or what?
All of that. And angry. I was so angry. I was angry at everything. I was angry at God. I was angry at my parents for having eight children. I was angry at the world for the fact that my dreams and my plans of going to law school were pretty much something that I had to completely set aside just to keep working these three minimum wage jobs. I waitressed, I filed multiple listings at a real estate office, and I worked at a law office just as a receptionist. But I had to keep working three jobs just to keep a roof over our heads and the lights on and the heat on. And it was demanding and it was tiring. And I had no social life and had no hope of ever going to school. It was, you know, the youngest were toddlers. You know, I had another 16, 17 years ahead of me of raising children with my mom.
So where did that find you then, that very hard Thanksgiving?
Doing a lot of driving between where they lived in one state and where I lived in another state. So I remember driving up, it would have been maybe Wednesday or Thursday of the week before, and going into the house, and the youngest children had just come home from school. And the youngest three children had come home, and they were so excited because there was going to be a food drive on Friday for a needy family in the community. And everyone was supposed to bring in a canned good wrapped as a gift for this family, and then they would get to sign this card. Mm. All the children would get to sign this card to this family. And I remember my mom sitting at the kitchen table, and my mom just kind of jumping up and going to the pantry and literally taking the last of our food out of the pantry to wrap up for the children to be able to wrap up and take to school the next day.
How did you feel in that moment?
Furious. Furious. I was so angry. I think there may have been one more home canned jar of beets. But beyond that, there was nothing. I mean, there was just nothing. Because Thanksgiving falls at the end of the month, which was rent was coming due and utilities were due on the first of the month. And I was just scraping together enough between myself and my next younger sister had a job and she would contribute. And I remember saying, "You're giving away the only food we have." And my mom was not someone who was firm. She was not someone who ever kind of stood up to anyone about anything. And she turned on me and she said, "Nothing will deprive my children of being generous."
Mm.
And I remember almost stepping back because it was so unlike her. She just had fire in her eyes. And she said, "My children will take their gift to school." And then she turned me to the story of Jesus feeding the multitudes. And she said that Jesus asked the disciples, when they were facing 5,000 people to feed, plus women and children, he asked them what they had to give, and they gave what they had, and she said, and he gave thanks. And then he gave it back to the disciples to give to the people. And she said, that was such an important part of that story to her, that he didn't just give thanks for what they gave him and then give it to the people. He gave it back to the disciples so that they could give to the multitudes. And she said, that's what we're doing. And I remember feeling I didn't feel like healed of my anger or anything. I just kind of gave in. You know, it was like, okay, you know, I don't know what we're going to do next week when Thanksgiving rolls around, but, you know, you go for it if that's what's really important to you. And my littlest sister, Lila, was just really, well, she wasn't the littlest, but she was the littlest of the elementary school group. And she was so excited. You know, she was like, oh my gosh. And she wrapped up her can of green beans and set it aside with her little backpack and her lunchbox for the next day. And I went back to work and worked through the weekend and came up Wednesday night for Thanksgiving. And we lived very, very far from the closest Christian Science church at the time. And so, and we didn't have money for gas, you know, going to church cost a lot of money in gas to get to the nearest church. And so we celebrated Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving service at home around the kitchen table. And I remember both my sister and I, my next youngest sister and I, we were really hurt and angry and frustrated. And because it was Thanksgiving Eve, we really didn't have any food. I think we might have had some rice in the cupboard and maybe potatoes from the garden and, you know, just a few things, but we weren't going to be making pies. We weren't going to be making stuffing. We didn't have a turkey, that was for sure. Mm-hmm. And I remember very despondently saying to my mom, "Well, how are we going to prepare for Thanksgiving this year?" And she said, "Well, we're going to sit down around the kitchen table and we're going to read the Thanksgiving lesson." So we did that. We started it anyway, and everybody kind of passed it around, and I was probably very cross-armed and not very happy with things and didn't really want to read the Thanksgiving lesson. And
can you say, Kate, what the Thanksgiving lesson is?
Oh, sure. The Thanksgiving lesson, it's citations from Scripture and from Science and Health with Key to the Scripture that's read on Thanksgiving Day in churches around the world. And so we finished what we were going to read of it. And my mom said, well, let's go around the table and everyone's going to give thanks for something. And I remember my brother said, I'm grateful I still have my bicycle. Mm-hmm. And she kind of realized that wasn't going where she wanted it to go. And she said, well, let's give thanks for things that we can't see or feel, you know, things that are spiritual. And so my sister Lila said, I'm grateful that I finally memorized the Lord's Prayer for Sunday school. And Mom said, well, that's a great idea. And why don't we just pray the Lord's Prayer while we're thinking about it? And we began to say the Lord's Prayer, which begins with Our Father, which art in heaven. And as we continued through to give us this day our daily bread, the doorbell rang. And we were so isolated out there that I couldn't even imagine who it might be. And we all got up and the younger kids just ran to the front door. I mean, we didn't finish the Lord's Prayer. And they opened the door and there was the entire elementary school. And my sister Lila's school teacher, her name was Mrs. Fenstermacher. She was right there in front and there were boxes and boxes of food. Uh-uh. And a turkey and canned hams and marshmallows and, I mean, everything that you could imagine. And my mom invited everyone in. They took the boxes back to the kitchen and Mom called me to the kitchen. And I went back and I was kind of overwhelmed. I didn't even know kind of what to think or how to think. And she asked me to get her Science and Health off the kitchen shelf. And she asked me to open it to a page that was marked. And I did. And she asked me to read out loud the passage on page 79. And it reads, "Giving does not impoverish us in the service of our Maker, neither does withholding enrich us." Hmm. And that food, those boxes of food, lasted until Social Security payments started about six weeks later. Mm-hmm. And I can honestly say that there was never a time going forward from that moment that we were ever hungry again, that we ever didn't have enough to eat. We were cared for.
What was the effect of this on you? I mean, clearly you'd had some experience with Christian Science. It sounds like you went to Sunday school at least when you could or mm-hmm. received some teaching at home.
Yes, I had pretty much grown up attending a Christian Science Sunday school, and I was surrounded by extended family members who were students of Christian Science. But I did have questions, and I started to search for answers. I explored other religions, and eventually I found my way back to the study and practice of Christian Science. It was at a family reunion, and it was my mom's books in her bedroom that I found one night when I was particularly afraid. And I immediately, when I came back into the study and practice of Christian Science, it was instant. It was like coming home.
Was this a big turning point for you?
That particular experience and the lessons of that giving does not impoverish us and the power of gratitude, they have informed my practice as a student of Christian Science and as a Christian Science practitioner for the last almost 40 years. Because I started to see the connection between gratitude and healing, and how critical it was for the shift in consciousness and therefore the shift in experience. So that Thanksgiving was a turning point.
Can you say a little bit more about that connection between gratitude and healing?
Sure. I think of it as the law of appreciation that Jesus understood so well. Appreciation is kind of an umbrella word. It has two meanings. It doesn't just mean to be grateful for something. You know, I appreciate you. A strong feeling of thankfulness is one of the definitions to value something and be grateful for it. But it also means to grow in value.
Mm.
When you put money into the bank and it's in an interest-bearing account, it appreciates. It grows in value. And so we fit into this spiritual construct, this spiritual infinite experience, because as the first chapter of Genesis says, we are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, an infinite God can only know and express himself as an infinite creation, including infinite man. As we are grateful for it, it grows in us. It grows in our experience. And so gratitude, for me, is the fastest way to bring into conscious awareness the presence of God. And since you can't get any lesser portion of God than all in all, to bring any sense of good into your consciousness is to bring the allness of good into it.
Well, and I mean, it certainly also seems like a really hopeful, hope-filled example of how, you know, even in dire circumstances, there are always answers.
Because there's never a moment when you cannot find something to be grateful for.
Mm.
No matter what you're facing, it cannot deprive you of your right to be grateful and your right to be generous in that gratitude.
Do you have a specific example from more recent years of a time when gratitude has come to your rescue in one of the ways you've been describing?
Thousands.
I'll pick one.
I mean, it's literally how I navigate all day, every day. I can share an experience. It's not terribly recent, but it's one that was profoundly life-altering for me. We had been in the process of adopting a child, and he had come to live with us as an infant, and his birth mother decided that she wanted to parent him herself, and it was absolutely the right thing for her to rethink that decision. But it was devastating for me. All I had ever wanted to be was a mother. And climbing out of that sadness and that sorrow was very, very difficult. And I was finally there. I had gone back to work, and I could navigate my life again without just bursting into tears constantly. And I remember one day, coming down from my office and out the doors, I had to deliver something to another office building. And as I came across the plaza of the workplace that I was at, I saw this young couple, and they had a child in a stroller. And I was so overwhelmed with envy and covetousness. I wanted what they had. I wanted that happy family with a little baby so much that it made my knees buckle. And I remember sitting down on the steps of a building that was right there and just saying to God, I am not moving from this place until you take this heartbreak and envy away from me. And I just stared at that couple. It was like I was daring God, you know, make this go away because I can't live with this envy anymore. And God said to me, what you're looking at is good. And that awareness of that good is not over there in that couple and in that stroller. It's in you. You appreciate what you're looking at. And that appreciation, that gratitude for what that means in the world, that young family, that sense of love and hope, that's in you. That's already in you. And I've put it there. And the more you appreciate it, you will see it appreciate in your life. And from that moment on, every time I saw a young family or I saw a baby or I saw a happy couple, I would love it. I would embrace it. I would say, thank you, God, for showing me what I am aware of, what's part of me, what's part of my consciousness of good. And Jenny, I can tell you that within 6 months of that day, my husband and I were asked to adopt without filing with an agency or putting our name on a list. We were asked to consider adopting 3 babies.
Whoa.
And each time I would pray about it, God would say, this is not your child, but you get to help this family, this birth family, find adoptive parents. And then one day, about 6 months later, I had been praying about a particular international issue that was going on in a faraway country that I had never visited, never had really had much awareness of or contact with, but I had learned about this issue and had started praying daily about it. And out of the blue, we got a call to adopt a child from this very country. And I knew immediately she was our daughter. And I guess it was about 4 months after that, I was on a plane to that country and brought home our daughter. So this sense of healing the heart, healing the body of our experience, for me, always starts with gratitude.
Oh, I love that. Is there anything you'd like to share in closing?
Yes. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter how afraid you are, the thing that so quickly disperses fear is an awareness that God is with me, that I am not alone. And that awareness that God is with me, God with us, that's what dispels fear. And dispelling fear is what gives space for healing and reformation and abundance and generosity. And when we feel that we're with God and we're with that abundant allness of God, we just want to share it. We want the whole world to know what that kind of love feels like.
Ah, that's lovely, Kate. Thank you so much for everything you shared here today, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too.
I've been speaking with Kate Robertson, a Christian Science practitioner from Buena Vista, Colorado.
Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Jeff Turton. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.